Good morning, Cascadia. You are listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Thursday, April 16th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre. Boeing, Israel, and Bing in Washington are droning the eastern Oregon skies.
On a fishing expedition recently that sets it well outside the law and common decency.
And President Barack Obama is on a whirlwind tour of Mexico and the Caribbean.
Portland area weather partly sunny this morning. Temperatures in the 60s today, rain likely tonight and tomorrow, but then spring comes back on the weekend.
And now we go to regional headlines from around Cascadia. Oaxaca, Mexico-based agriculture expert Baldomar Mendoza Jimenez works with rural communities that abide by a traditional form of self-organization, including a system of community service. Jimenez says that this system is nearly destroyed by the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, leading to massive migration of Mexican farmers to the United States and America's immigration crisis. Jimenez works for the Union of Organizations of the Sierra Juarez of Oaxaca, which teaches farmers how to restore traditional farming methods, including organic, sustainable agriculture, and crop diversity. He's touring communities throughout the Northwest this month, and tomorrow he'll be speaking at 11:30 at Portland State University. This is at the Urban Center building at 11:30.
A poll suggests a majority of voters in the Pacific Northwest think removing four lower Snake River dams is an extreme solution for recovering salmon. Dam fans cite the usual financial interests. Advocates of dam removal counter with a study of their own that shows the region can meet its future energy demand, reduce carbon emissions, and remove the four dams with little increased cost.
All of which relates back again to agriculture, which seems in these post-Wall Street days to be reverting to farming rather than agribusiness. Even as drought devastates the West's farmland, two Depression-era government programs have been paying some of the nation's biggest farms hundreds of millions of dollars to grow water-thirsty crops in what once was desert. The federal government handed out nearly $700 million in subsidies over the past 2 years to hundreds of farmers in California and Arizona. One program pays farmers for planting water-needy crops such as cotton and rice, which are largely grown by flooding the fields. The other provides cut-rate water for irrigation. Farmers and government officials strongly defend the double-dip subsidies, saying that they produce an abundance of food and jobs. But now, with the West booming in population and the region gripped by both recession and a dry spell, environmentalists, city dwellers, and even members of Congress are demanding that the government end or scale back this decades-old devastating practice that is essentially rewarding farms for using water they don't have.
Northwest Natural Gas Company has asked the Oregon Public Utility Commission for approval of a one-time rate credit to customers to reflect the precipitous drop in gas prices since it raised rates last fall. If approved, the refund would be based on customers' gas use from November through March and show up as a credit on customers' June bills.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. As the economic downturn worsens, Oregon is hatching its own horde of zombie banks. These so-called zombie banks at first emerged in major financial centers. Wall Street was alive with the living dead. Massive money center banks such as Citigroup are plagued by their huge portfolio of mortgage-backed securities and other exotic investments. Oregon banks now are feeling the pinch from a more mundane asset, the enormous portfolios of real estate that they have ended up owning or controlling.
Representative Brian Clem, co-owner of an 80-acre fruit orchard, said he was surprised when another farmer said that he had previously sold his pears to the Department of Corrections but couldn't anymore because of a state law that always gives preference to the lowest bidder. House Bill 2763 is intended to make it easier for local growers to do business with the state.
Oregon's dropout rate fell last year to an all-time low, in part because of better school options focused on kids in danger of quitting. Dropout rates varied widely across the state. Portland's rate remained the highest in the metro area at 8.4%. Some of Portland's small high schools that are designed to be personal and nurturing continue to lose students. More than half of Portland's dropouts came from private alternative schools that have contracts with the district. Overall, the district is improving its dropouts and graduation rates and redesigning its high schools.
Same-sex domestic partners would have all the rights and benefits that Washington State offers married couples under a bill that passed the legislature yesterday. The bill expands on previous domestic partnership laws by adding such partnerships to all remaining areas of state law where currently only married couples are mentioned. The statutes range from labor and employment rights to pensions and other public employee benefits.
And the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency said yesterday that it will use a portion of nearly $600 million in federal stimulus money to speed cleanup at two Superfund sites in Tacoma and on Bembridge Island in Washington. The projects were among 50 hazardous sites in 28 states that got federal stimulus money.
Washington voters would get the final say on a 3-year sales tax increase to pay for health care programs, with some taxpayers also getting a rebate under a Democratic plan that surfaced yesterday.
And while President Barack Obama is traveling to Mexico this week to smooth ruffled feathers there, there is the immigration issue and the drug cartel issue, and overshadowing whatever else the two leaders talk about is the colossal mistake that we know as NAFTA. KBOO Spencer Raymond is with us this morning to parse this latest presidential peregrination. Good morning, Spencer.
Good morning, Chris. Yeah, Obama, he's making his first trip to Mexico as president, and it's part of a larger Central American swing that the White House says is focused on the drug war. Hillary Clinton and as Secretary of State is kind of heading up that issue, and also getting the greater, getting the world economy back on track from an America's part of view. That's basically the straight line from the White House, but like you said, there's a lot of other issues related with Mexico, particularly border issues. Remember the Mexican trucking news from a couple weeks ago, and then, as you said, NAFTA, which so far the White House hasn't said much about.
And NAFTA, of course, is really what underlies all of this. Agriculture in Mexico took a tremendous hit. It's probably been even more devastating than the so-called Green Revolution in Africa and Southeast Asia. But with the financial collapse that, of course, is hitting every nation all around the world, Mexico's problems are probably deepening, and hence America's the pressure is really on to come up with some sort of response, some solutions. Solutions very often are found in the problems themselves. Do you see any way in which NAFTA could itself be modified or even scrapped altogether? Has there been any talk of that?
Well, you know, remember from the campaign when Obama, I think he was in Chicago and made some comments about NAFTA, or staff members of his did. You know, I think, Chris, NAFTA is here to stay. It would be a radical move for NAFTA to go away, and it would be more than just a pure, America advantage if NAFTA was abolished. You know, Canada and Mexico would have to play into that. And one thing I think is important to note is during, you know, an economic downturn like this, you know, not only are American farmers hurting, but that translates for the whole immigration thing, the immigrants coming in to do their work. Just like Americans aren't finding jobs, these immigrants are having trouble finding jobs also.
Though, at the same time, it has taken some pressure off the land in Mexico, where agriculture had for a while, in a way, taken a toll. That land is resting. Now people are going back, and they are returning to sustainable, traditional methods of farming. Perhaps Mexico is leading the way, and we'll see America following along in its footsteps. So the president's on to Haiti after this.
That's right. That's more of a Central American summit where the White House says you'll talk about the economic issues.
And Haiti is full of economic issues, you know that. Thank you so much for that, Spencer. That, of course, is KBOO's reporter, Spencer Raymond, joining us as he does every weekday morning with DC Dirt. Thanks, Spencer.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird. It's a plane. Holy cow, it's Scan Eagle. The Scan Eagle is an unmanned aircraft recently tested in eastern Oregon. Three of these drones were launched from Boeing's Boardman Test Facility, approximately 120 miles away from the airborne wedge-tail control. Operators tasked them with area search, reconnaissance, point surveillance, and targeting. They demonstrated extended sensing, persistent intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, and manned-unmanned teaming, and sent back real-time video of ground targets.
See, this is a kinder, gentler drone, not like the Predator. That sounded scary and threatening. But now, when your village gets wiped out by something up in the sky, you could just point to the clouds and say, I guess it was a Scan Eagle. The National Security Agency intercepted private email messages and phone calls of Americans in recent months on a scale that went beyond the broad legal limits established by Congress last year. And I must say, they were pretty broad legal limits. Several intelligence officials, as well as lawyers, briefed about the matter said that the NSA had been engaged in over-collection of domestic communications. They described the practice as significant and systemic, although one official said that it was believed to have been unintentional. That's almost as alarming as the notion that it was intentional. Like, whoops, they accidentally have been spying on people?
Mm-hmm. Habit. A Michigan Muslim organization has called on U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder to investigate complaints the FBI is asking followers of the faith to spy on Islamic leaders and congregations. The Council of Islamic Organizations of Michigan said today that it sent a letter last week to Holder after mosques and other groups reported members of the community have been approached to monitor people coming to mosques and donations they make.
It was an accident. They didn't intend to.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Thursday, April 16, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Emily Young. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints, an in-depth look at the Obama bailout and its impact at the state and local level with Catherine Austin Fitz, and an archival interview with the late Judy Berry.
Thanks for listening, and have a good day.